course of faith now. We've done 2 weeks on it, and then we broke last week, and Pastor Glenn brought a great word on Mothering Sunday there. He brought a great word last week. And so we want to look at a part three of this. If you've missed it, it is online, but also this will be completely different, so you'll not really lose too much of it if you haven't been here or heard the first two parts. Hebrews chapter 11 again, please, for a basis of what we want to say this morning on this subject. Hebrews chapter 11, beginning to read at verse 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Keep your Bible open. We'll be referring to that later. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for every remembrance of your Son. We'll thank thee for the people that you've put into their hearts to be here this morning. We thank you, Father, for every head and home represented. And Lord, as our faces differ, so do our needs. And we thank you, Lord, your God, who can do exceeding and abundantly above all we could ask or think. And some of us have left homes of sickness to come here this morning. Some have left homes, Lord, of trouble and weariness and mourning. And we pray, Father, that you'd bless and move and touch and help wherever you seem and deem it fit to do. And Father, we think of those who will watch live, Lord, who would maybe want to be here but cannot for one reason or another, or later on we pray for their portion of the blessing, Lord, that you would touch them. We think of those who have recently come through surgery, and Lord, we pray, Lord, that they might know your healing power and your touch with them this morning. But for those of us who are here, for the children down in Children's Church, so many, Lord, again, and our hearts rejoice to see all those young ones, Lord, going to hear your word, and Lord, to be taught the things of God, and for the creche, for all the leaders and the helpers, and those that look after the babies, and Lord, we just give you thanks for every ministry and every person, and we pray your hand to be upon them. For us here, Lord, now under this tent, Lord, even though the wind blows it this morning, we just thank you that you've brought it. You've brought the people out to it this morning, Lord. And we pray in Jesus' name, Lord, that you would help them to concentrate on the word of God, that you'd help them to concentrate, that your spirit, he would take what is to be said and wing it to every heart and to every person this morning. But Lord, that Christ would be lifted up, that he would be lifted up in our hearts and in our minds and in our midst, and he'd be lifted up in the word and seen only before all others and above all others. So Father, take thy word and wing it to our hearts, we pray. Glorify your name, we ask it, for Jesus' sake. Amen. If you remember, we looked at faith, and the force of faith is faith in God, we mean. We mean faith in God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And it's that which causes us to move, the drive, to follow after the Lord, to walk with him daily. And that, it's a, if you want, the force of the Holy Spirit. He gives us the faith to believe for the impossible, gives us the faith to believe that no matter what happens, that he is still God and in charge and it's sovereign and on the throne. And it's the force of faith in our lives that causes us to go on with him. We looked at how now faith is a substance of things hoped for. We'll look at it again in a moment. And it's working faith now in our hearts that has got us up on a Sunday morning, and such a beautiful morning, a little bit windy, but it's really a beautiful morning, and brought us to this place. If we had no faith in our hearts, we wouldn't be here. We wouldn't get up. We would maybe go and spend our day doing something else, being somewhere else, but rather that faith in Christ, and to walk with him, to have him glorified in our lives and to love him. That faith causes us to gather this morning on the Lord's day, to gather unto Jesus. Notice, it's now faith that is working. And then, of course, there's through faith and by faith. And we don't want to lean too much on it at this point in time, but we looked at how in Deuteronomy 32, we haven't time to turn to it, but it was in part one, how without faith, what happens to a nation? Without faith, what happens to a person? Without faith, what happens to an assembly like our own? If we come here and we're an assembly where we have no faith in what God can do, we have no faith in God's miracle working power, we have no faith that Christ will save the lost, and we have no faith that Christ can restore the backslider. And listen, if we have no faith that God has forgiven us all our past sins, then why are we here? Because it's faith in Christ and the precious blood that he shed that tells us that we are forgiven of all of our past, that it's washed under the blood, and we're new creatures in Christ. And that's all by faith through the word of God. But in Deuteronomy 32, we read in verse 20, it says, "And he said," that is the Lord said, "I will hide my face from them. I will see what their end shall be, for they are a very froward generation, children in whom is no faith." Israel had no faith. They sacrificed and worshipped devils in the chapter, tells us. And listen, we spoke about this. We won't go into it, but perversity came into the land. The nation became so perverse that God said there's no faith even among this people anymore. And the trajectory of society without the force of faith brought them to a place of debauchery and perversion. And so when we look at how a man or a woman that are not in faith, talking about the faith which was once delivered unto the saints, they're not in faith in Christ, then that man and that woman are leaving, as it were, a portal, an opening, an open door for a devil, as it were, a demon to come, for something else to fill the void where faith should be, where unbelief is. And through that unbelief, their own life, their own walk, their own home, their own marriage, their own family, it all starts to crumble down around them because there's no faith to drive them on, no force of faith to keep them going on in Christ. And that's where the sticking plaster of glue is in the marriage and a home and a family, is when two follow and serve Christ, when two love the Lord Jesus Christ, when both want to go on because they believe with the faith that has been imputed, given and added unto them, and now they are living in that faith. It is that which keeps them together. It is that which keeps a family together. It is that which keeps a church assembly together. And it's that which keeps a nation right. And that's why our nation is in such a deep, dire state. That's why it's in such a terrible condition. Because there's no faith, so to speak, in our land, or there's little faith in our land. Notice, if you will, this faith here that it speaks of, it is a now faith. Now faith is a faith that is in you now, a faith that is present with you now. And if you were to look at verse 6 of Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6 says, "But without faith, it is impossible." Notice this, underline the word. "But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is." That means that he even exists. Faith tells us God exists. Faith tells us, though we can't see him, God is real. Faith is what shows us the ways of God. And without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. That's why we have decided that we are going on, and I hope as many as possible joins us, what's known as the Daniel Fast. Some call it a Daniel diet because there's things you can eat. It's not a starvation fast, but it's not just a diet or fasting different foods. It is a seeking the face of God privately. Privately, setting your heart, setting your mind that you're going to be seeking God throughout the day. Every given moment, you'll be speaking to the Lord. Every time, it's faith that tells us that he's here. Faith that's saying he's a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. That's why we're going to have Monday evening prayer meeting. There's a 6:30 in the morning Tuesday meeting, a Wednesday meeting at 7:30, and a Friday meeting at 7:30. And there's two before the services on a Sunday. It's to seek the face of God. For he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him, and his presence, his anointing, his spirit moving in our midst is enough reward for us. If we have that, if we have him, then he is enough for us. Notice here, if you will, but without faith it is impossible to please him. Would you say impossible?
Impossible.
Impossible. I want to show you this little word here to show you that without faith. So we looked at Israel when they have no faith. And now it's without faith. It's impossible to please him. And this word, impossible, is a word, adunatos. And it gives the idea of something or someone who is impotent. It means totally without power or powerless, without strength. Turn with me to Acts 14, please. Acts chapter 14. And that's where I just run down the chapter to a verse. Verse 8, please. And there sat a certain man at Lystra, impotent in his feet, being a cripple from his mother's womb, who never had walked. The same heard Paul speak, who steadfastly beholding him, perceiving that he had faith to be healed, said with a loud voice, stand upright on thy feet. And he leaped and walked. And when the people saw that Paul had done, what Paul had done, they lifted up their voices saying, in the speech of Lyconia, the gods are come down to us in the likeness of man. And they called Barnabas Jupiter and Paul Mercurius because he was the chief speaker. Then the priest of Jupiter, which was of the city, brought oxen and garlands under the gates and would have done sacrifice with the people, which when the apostles Barnabas and Paul heard of, they rent their clothes and ran in among the people crying out and saying, sirs, why do you these things? We also are men of like passions with you and preach unto you that ye should turn from these vanities unto the living God, which made heaven and earth and the sea and all things that are therein. Notice, if that had have been in today's charismania, if that had have been today, they would have said, I want you to give me an offering of $1,000 each, and I want you to keep lifting me up and calling me the god Mercurius or Jupiter. I want you to do all of this because look at the great things that's happening among us. But Paul didn't do that. And Paul set them right. Paul put them back down in the place where they should be. And Paul says, listen, we're only men. The one who does this is the living God, the Lord Jesus Christ. He's saying this, not us, it's through Christ. But if you notice, this man who was healed, it says he was impotent in verse 8 in his feet, being a cripple from his mother's womb, who had never had walked. The word impotent is the word here, adunatus. Without faith it is impossible. It's the same word. to please God. And the idea of it is here is, as impossible as it was for this man to get up on his feet and walk away on his own, for he was a cripple from birth, from his mother's womb, and had never walked. Never walked. So it is impossible for a man or a woman to please God without faith. It's the same word used. That's how lifeless we can be. Like a man or a woman, like this man, impotent and crippled from his mother's womb, physically, spiritually, many of us can be crippled in the sense where we have no faith. We try and please God by how good we are. We try and please God by doing extra things, extracurricular things if you want, to do with church. But God can't be pleased by works or alms or deeds or offerings. God is pleased by faith. By faith. Faith in his son. Sometimes when we have no faith, we have to wonder, Lord, are we displeasing you? Turn with me to Romans 8, if you will. Romans 8. Romans 8, verse 3, please. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. See this term, for what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh. What the law could not do, the term therefore could not do is the same word, adunatos. It means the law was absolutely impotent. The law was absolutely powerless. This was the law of God. But what was it impotent and powerless to do? To save us. To save us. Because it was weak. Now the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul, the scriptures tell us. Nothing wrong with the law. But the law was impotent to save us because of our flesh. There's your battle. There's your warfare. Look, every man and woman, every Christian man and woman has a threefold enemy. The world, the flesh, and the devil. If the world, everybody in the world got saved today, and if by the time you get home the devil dropped dead, you still have an enemy. Do you know who it is? Yourself. Yourself. Your flesh. And your flesh will be your enemy until the day of resurrection. Until the day of the changing of the body to be fashioned like unto his own glorious body. We're always going to have troubles. We're always going to have trials. We're always going to have those things. But we will also have temptations of the flesh. And so the spirit and the flesh war and lust one against the other. But the law of God discovers the sin. It could not by any mode nor by any means. It was powerless. It was impotent. It couldn't save us. It shows us our sin. It is our schoolmaster to bring us on to Christ. To bring us to Christ. And so you can see the strength of this word. It's just, well, you know, it's impossible to please him. As impossible, and I say it with reverence about God's word, but it's the truth. As impossible as it is to be saved by the keeping of the law, because your flesh and my flesh is a sinful flesh, is a lustful flesh, is a depraved flesh. Because of that, we can't be saved through the law. So Christ comes and keeps the law that we couldn't keep. He lives a life that we couldn't live. And he dies in our place, that we might be forgiven and saved. So you can see how impossible it is. Now look with me, if you will, again at Hebrews 11. There's others, but we'll not go down through them now. Hebrews 11, please, in verse 6 says, "But without faith it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." Would you say diligently? We all know when you're diligent about something, you do something quickly. Sometimes you want to go and do it yourself because people are a wee bit lax in getting it done. Isn't that right? And you want to be meticulous more about it. And it means that in our English, but in the Greek text is a little bit more to it than that. Axetio gives the idea here for diligently. It gives the idea to scrutinize something. To scrutinize. It gives the idea to investigate. It gives the idea of someone has a craving to know. A craving to find out. A craving to search out. And so you scrutinize, you investigate, and the idea of like this. I have to know. I gotta know. It's the idea of this. And to diligently seek him. And to scrutinize not only the scriptures to look out to see what God's word says. To investigate more on the person of Christ. But it gives the idea to go about, like a detective. And they have maybe their notebook, well, I'm going old school, notebook and pen. I don't know what they'd have today. Columbo. And he takes his notes. Show your age when you start speaking about Columbo, don't you? And he starts taking down the notes. And he goes from one person to the next, and he's taking down the notes. This is the idea of it. Seeking out, trying to get every bit of information that you can. Speaking to one person that knew, maybe a deceased person who would be, I don't know, a murderer or something, and going to another who was there, someone who was an eyewitness. And this is the idea of this word. And it says, if you have the faith, and you diligently seek out the person of Christ, that's the idea of it. I used to love sitting, listening to older men in the faith who have seen, who have been through and in places with God. Pick their brain, as it were. And I used to love them telling me about certain maybe meetings they were at and how the meeting started and those that went out to do the preparation work before it and maybe a mission or they're in a meeting and how the Holy Spirit came in and moves right through and how they maybe burst into song and the Lord was moving and touching people as he went through the meeting and into prayer and praise and worship and the gifts of the Spirit and all of these things. I used to eat it up. I wanted to know more. I couldn't get enough of it. I wanted to investigate it. Used to love sitting with men who used to go through the scriptures and learn more from the Bible study. This is the idea of, if you diligently seek me. Listen, Christian, it's a word for us this morning. Not only as an assembly for what we're going to do for the next 3 weeks, but it's an idea, and this isn't about the 3 weeks only, this is about a lifestyle. It's a word for us this morning, that without us being in faith, it is impossible to please him. When we come to pray, being in faith that he hears us. Whether personally on your own in your closet where you pray, or whether it's in the assembly at the prayer meeting, that we gather together knowing, Lord, you hear us. And we're seeking your face. Get into the Word every day. Set yourself in the morning. You get up in the morning, start to read. Open the Scripture and read it. And some people say, well, I can't really read. Read it. Just read it. Just read it. Well, I don't really remember because I'm maybe tired at one point. Just read it. If you have to fall asleep on it, then do it, and then read it when you open your eyes again. Read it. Read it and read it and read it. And if you've missed a chapter because your mind was somewhere else, start it again. Read it again. Read that verse again. Let me tell you a story about reading a verse again. I remember Alison and I, and we had absolutely nothing. Nothing. And I remember I was sitting, I'll tell you where it was early morning, sitting on the balcony of the church, the Metropolitan Tabernacle. There's nobody about, it was a midweek. I was up early and was away, and Pastor McConnell used to be there at 7 in the morning to feed the stray cats before he went on into his office. So I went on in and up and into the up into the balcony, and I was sitting, and they had a big, big clock, massive clock. I remember sitting with a Bible reading, and I was saying, Lord, we're in trouble here. We're down to brass tacks, really. In fact, our brass tacks were gone with nothing. And we were looking because we had things to pay. What are we going to do? The pressure was on us. Not even money for food. Look, and we could have went to my mum had died, but my father could have went to him. Alison's mum and dad were always helping us out, but at this point we wouldn't go to anybody or tell them. And I remember sitting reading the Word and praying. Reading the Word and praying. Reading the Word and praying. At one point, my mind went blank. Lord, I need you. Don't know what to do. There's things had to be paid before that day. I'm not going into the whole story of it, but we were struggling. He says, Lord, I need you. And I was reading. I felt the Lord say to me, read what you skipped over. I sort of looked again and thought, okay, Lord. I turned to the Bible. I'll not read all of it just for time's sake. I read the Bible. Which of you, taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? Why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow, and they toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which it today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? I remember it hitting me. I went, oh, Lord, there's nobody about. Lord, I'm sorry. Of little faith, I'm sorry. Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of these things. seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Therefore take no thought for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. And I remember going, Lord, I'm sorry for lack of faith. And I closed my Bible. And I remember I turned around to get out of the seat and the big clock was behind me. And I looked at the clock. And it was 8:20 in the morning. So I went and wound away down the road and into the house. I'd had an accident and I couldn't work, and my neck was damaged at the time, and I was in agony. And Alison wasn't great at this point either. But anyway, when I walked in, and Stan was getting worked under the house, and had no floor, and it was about that depth down to the ground, and there was a plank across into the kitchen. We had to balance with Trey getting her dinner at night across the plank. And we lived in a back room. Everywhere was full of dirt. And I remember I come in the door and I stepped down into it. I'm standing in the living room looking around like this. And this is true. And the door was open and someone walked up the hallway. He walked right up to the door and he was above me like this. And he says, I was praying for you this morning. I says, thank you, I need it. And he pulled out a roll of cash. He says, and the Lord told me that's for you. A roll of money. He says, the Lord says you need that. That's for you. And away he went. I was thinking, Lord, you've met our needs and more. Do you remember that? You've met our needs and more. I don't know why I went off to say that, but this is why I'm saying it. Whatever little faith you have left, brother, sister, through a trial you're going through, it may be a long-term thing you've been going through. Listen, have faith he hears. Have faith he knows. And have faith he never disappoints nor lets you down. It's easy to think, well, nobody knows where I am, the condition I'm in here. And pardon me for these stories, you know, I don't do too many of them, but I just feel for some reason I'm going to tell it. And Alice and I were in 1999, maybe begin the 2000 it was at this point, and we were in Romania, living in Romania in a wee village away 15 mile out of the near city. The city was called Timișoara, and outside of in the wee village we lived in the orphanage, and there was three floors. We lived on, our bedrooms were on the top floor in the orphanage. We lived with them all there. There was a wee Baptist outreach at one point, and they'd closed down. They'd had enough, and they were away. And we took over this, and we had a wee church going in the front of it there. But before we opened it, what happened was one day I came down, and I'd been round all the villages with my interpreter, and I'd been doing a lot of groundwork and speaking to people. And we're going to open up a wee meeting here. Would you come out? And speaking to them, all sorts of people. And this Lord's Day morning, I get up and I was ready, and I walked out to the home here. The children's home was here, the orphanage, just across the way to about those doors. And as I walked over, and opened the side door and went through the wee church and opened the door, and the pathway just goes right up past the glass, just the pathway that walks all the way up through the village and then the wee road. There's only about 10 minutes left. And there wasn't a soul came in. And I'd put so much of an effort in and looked up and down. And I was threatened with prison if I opened it. I was threatened with prison. I had leaflets printed in the city, and by the time I got home, there was a leaflet there on my desk in a brown envelope. Open this and we will arrest you and put you in prison. There was still a lot of communism at the time about. And I said, no, we're going to open it anyway. Sure, we're just going to, this is God's work, we're going to do it. And all of this is God's work. We know you're at work. We know this is of you, Lord. We know we're here for a purpose. We're here for a reason, not only to see these children here have a better life, but to see them come to Christ. And we're here to reach the villages and so forth. And there I'm standing there after all of this, thinking they're going to come and arrest me probably for opening up. And there wasn't a soul in the whole village to be seen. And I'm like this, looking up and down. My heart sank. And be honest, we were going through such a hard time. We were being attacked left, right and centre at the time. You know, I was hitting the head with an iron bar one time and I went down in a crowd of people in the village. And there's a whole lot had happened. And I walked up the back, right up the side of the home. And I stood around the back of the home where nobody could see me. And I started to pray. My heart was in my boots. And I started to cry like a big child. I says, Lord, I can't take anymore. Lord, I can't do this anymore. I can't take this. I've had enough. I rend off to the Lord everything I done. Like a fool, I done it. And I rend off to the Lord everything that had happened as if he didn't know it. And when I rend it all off, crying in the face of God, I went, right. And I walked down, there was still nobody there, and I walked in through the wee church, and I was going to lock it, and I'm standing there looking up and down, nobody in sight. My heart, I just can't tell you how I felt. And there's one road goes through all the villages, one wee road, and they're all dirt tracks off it and throughout the village. One wee bumpy tarmac road right in front of us. Just here, there's the houses on the other side of it. Between the houses, see this little black dot coming toward me. And there's this wee bird dropping and it's flying like this. And it just caught my attention. And I've been saying, Lord, nobody knows I'm here. Me and Alison are here and we're working through us. And hot enough, the wee bird comes. And just at that point, a car down here drives up, there's a bend, comes round the bend, is driving this way, and as the wee bird dipped, the car hit the wee bird. Sunday morning, nobody about, and the wee bird was hit and went, boom, right between my 2 feet. And I went, oh, the wee bird, and I picked it up, and it was dead. I thought maybe it had just been injured. And the wee bird was dead. And the Lord spoke to my heart like that. Not a bird even dropped to the ground without your father knows it. Not even a bird, not a sparrow will drop to the ground without your father knowing it. Lord, I'm sorry. I'm thinking nobody knows, but you know. And I walked up around the back of the wee home and I bawled again. Repenting for my sin, my lack of faith in what he could do. And I went down and went, right, I'm going to close this up. And I walked in to close the door and the church was packed. Within 5 minutes, the church was bunged full. It's only small, but it was packed out. And half the church came to know Christ in the one service. So until I realized by faith, Lord, I'm here. Allison's here. We're going through this. You already know this. And I repented of that for my lack of faith. It was then he brought the blessing. It was then that he moved. Better close this up. I've just touched that and I've went off, but I'll close this up here. This word diligently here, it means to scrutinize, to to crave like for something and search out. And you know, the scriptures tell us, you know, Romans 10 tells us, there's none that understandeth. There's none that seeketh after God. So this brings us back to Hebrews 11 and verse 1. Now faith. The now faith is the faith now in you, who has you here this morning. Tells me, tells you, let you know, faith. You do have faith because you're here. It might be lacking a little. It might be little. It might be small. But you're still here. Not just because you come here, but you're here because you want to go on with God, because you want to gather with God's people. The faith that tells you that you want to seek the Lord, to speak to the Lord, to pray and seek His face. That's faith now, operating now. And as I told you, I think it was in part two, the now faith is, there's no definite article in now faith. Definite article would be the faith here, this man of faith, this woman of faith. But it's given without the definite article. So it's now faith is the substance. It means the faith that's operating in all of us in the person of Christ. That faith is the substance of things hoped for. The evidence of things not seen. I'll maybe do another week. I was going to stop it this week, but I've run away off somewhere else this morning. And we'll maybe do something else. Let the children know they can come up, please, when they're ready. The Lord bless you. See, tonight, I got this idea. I listened to a man during the week. And he was speaking about Isaiah 53. And they sort of think, you know, well, Isaiah is speaking about, for he's wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities, the chastisement of our peace was upon him, with stripes we are healed, and so on. The Jews put that down to that's the Jewish people, you know. I was pastoring in Dublin, and I was in the back of the wee church right on Stephen's Green. And I remember I came out from the back and there was a man with his head duking in the door like this, looking up, you see. And I went, and as I got up, I went, how are you doing? Are you all right? And we had on the wall here, he has risen. And he spun on his heels and flew out the door. So I went out after him. And we're out on the curb, right on the footpath. And I said, excuse me, are you all right? And he went like this, don't touch me. I says, you're okay, are you all right? He says, I'm a Jew. He says, I'm a Jew. I says, what were you doing looking in? I was just looking. I had an interest. I says, do you? He says, yes. I says, well, do you want to talk to me? He says, no. I said, why? He says, you have He has risen on the wall. I says, yeah, Christ has risen. He says, no, he's not. He's in hell, an excrement, burning. I says, who do you think the prophet Isaiah speaks of in Isaiah 53? But he was wounded for our trunk. Oh, that's not in our scroll, he said. I says, no, it is. He says, oh, that's the Jewish people and the persecution. I says, no, it's not. That's Christ. And then he turned around and he said, listen, even that one Jesus we're not worried about. He says, but we hate Paul. That's what he told me. We hate Paul. I says, well, sit down, we'll talk about it. He wouldn't come back. And he just walked away. Wouldn't talk with me. Wouldn't sit with me. And off he went. So I was listening to this thing. during the week. Wasn't yesterday, it was during the week. And this sort of language was coming up about this sort of stuff. It was just something that came up. I can't even remember who it was. And they had said, oh, well, the Jews say that that's the Jewish people. So I thought, Lord, I'm going to write something about this and preach it. But I started thinking about Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch. Remember, he was reading it. And I thought how Philip was a deacon, and then how he went from being a deacon, he then went on to be an evangelist. And he evangelized to the Ethiopian eunuch, but he evangelized Isaiah 53. So God willing, that's what I'm looking at tonight. That's what I'm on tonight, and that's why I brought tonight's message. May the Lord bless us this morning.